Good morning. It's 8:18 on the ticket Monday morning with the Musers. Giorgio is out starting his Irish golf journey. We have Daryl Razor-Ray from the Stars Network here sitting in this morning. We'll have Mike Ducey in tomorrow morning. We'll have a guest host each morning for the next 7 days filling in for Giorgio.
It'll be better tomorrow then. That's good to hear.
I don't know. We're starting off pretty top shelf with you, Razor.
Gordon will feel better.
Yeah, Gordo's a little under the weather, so who knows what's going to happen at 8:40. But in this segment, I was told to tease it.
Yeah.
As Razor will tell us about his porn career.
Yeah.
So the floor is yours.
Well, this will be the shortest segment ever in ticket history. More ways than one.
I don't know. How long did it last?
I don't. Not long.
No, you know, we had you on a few weeks ago, and you told us a couple of stories from your childhood. And after that segment, the three of us in here looked at each other and said, wow, that was really interesting. Feral Razor, raised in the woods of British Columbia. We didn't know he had that kind of upbringing. And we got a lot of emails from listeners saying, we want to hear more about Razor's childhood. That sounded really interesting. So I do want to go back in time with you. Growing up in British Columbia.
That's my dad's middle name, by the way, Feral.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, it all ties together.
Ivor
here.
Feral Ray.
What a great name.
Yeah.
Ivor.
Yeah.
So what town did you grow up in, or were there a couple?
Prince George was my hometown till I was like 14, and then I moved away to play junior hockey.
That's right, because I remember one time we were talking to you about Prince George, and I looked it up on Google Maps. And I threw out a park name to you, and you were like, how did you know that park?
Isn't Google Maps something else?
Like, yes.
So I went on there. This was, I think, a year ago. And I looked at my elementary school.
It's great.
Like, I was looking right at my elementary school in Prince George, British Columbia.
I've done
sitting
that
in Dallas, Texas.
I've done that with all our old houses.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
It's the best. So growing up in Prince George, I'm guessing it's like growing up in a small town in Texas. It's all about football there. It was all about hockey. Like, did you think about any other sports?
No. Everybody played hockey. A little bit of baseball. I played lacrosse growing up. Winter was long and harsh. It was dark most of the year, it felt like. I can remember winters when the snow was piled, like it had been piled. It didn't snow that much, but it was 3/4 of the way up a telephone pole.
Wow.
And like you had steel studded tires because you never saw pavement. It was just frozen. It was just ice. You drove on ice for months.
But life didn't stop.
It's timber, right? It's pulp and paper. So there were three pulp mills. You ever been around a pulp mill?
I don't think so.
Mm. You ever been like in the can after somebody's been after it in there?
Yeah.
That smell?
Yeah. Same thing.
My dad used to say, wind from the east is good for man nor beast, as it would drift in from the pulp mills into the city.
I've driven by a paper mill before, and
it smells
awful.
Like bum, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
It's arse.
It's terrible.
Yeah. But it's money.
Yes.
So there was a lot of, my dad was a logging instructor, and that was the main, that was it. That was industry in Prince George, right in the middle of the province. And, you played hockey. That's what you did at the Kin Center. Froze your toes. And away you went.
Were they playing basketball also? Did you guys have a high school basketball team?
Yeah, no, I did all the sports. Lakewood and Quinson Elementary. I won every event except for the ball throw and the shot put at field day.
Okay.
Every event.
Pretty good.
I was a spectacular athlete in a very small community. but I didn't win. A guy named John Cadla won that both years. I was so ticked at that. I couldn't beat a guy named Danny Sanny. This is fascinating stuff. Couldn't beat a guy named Danny Sanny in the 800. He was the only guy I couldn't beat.
And it still sticks with you
today.
Not
really. Not really, Craig.
So it sounded like from some of your stories that you did a lot of outdoors stuff. Did you go hunting with your dad, things like that?
Some, yeah. But yes, yeah.
Hunting bears? Or
I killed a grouse with my bare hands once. That's a true story. I just tackled it, ripped its head off.
Okay.
That's, kind of a mountain boy.
That's a pretty feral
shot
razor.
Shot a moose. I think I told you the moose story. Mm-hmm. Deer, ducks. I remember being frozen. I had to go in after the ducks. My dad used me as a bird dog. And just go in after him. He'd shoot him. I'd go after him.
Did you have a lot of bears around there?
Yes, lots.
They come into the town?
Yeah.
Looking for food?
Yeah, the outskirts a little bit. Not right into... I mean, there's 80,000 people in Prince George, so... and, look, tough, rough town, too.
Really?
Yeah, there's... That wildlife was probably more dangerous than the actual wildlife.
Really?
But yeah, it was... Yeah. It was a great place, I thought, to grow up, but I was eager to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to go do something else.
And hockey was your ticket out.
Yep.
At what point did you start thinking, okay, I could do this for a living?
Well, I always dreamed of it. I remember talking to my aunts and to teachers, and they'd be like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd be like, I'm going to be a hockey player. But what do you want to fall back on? I said, I'll fall back on hockey.
And you kind of did.
Yeah, very much. That's all I've ever done. It's all I know. But I think when I was probably when I played junior hockey, it was like we all thought we were going to play in the NHL and be stars. But I thought then, yeah, I got a chance to do this. Yeah.
So you go through the minors. Was it Hartford first or Edmonton first?
Edmonton
first.
Yeah.
And so you...
Edmonton.
You're called up to Edmonton, which is the team at the time, with Wayne Gretzky, all those greats. That had to be kind of overwhelming.
Very much so.
Did you feel like you didn't belong?
Yeah. It feels... And I'm not kidding. It feels like this Hall of Fame thing.
Really?
It's just like, that's not... No. That's that. That's that. And it was the same thing. Like, the year I got drafted, I was drafted in 84, and that was the same year they won their first Stanley Cup. And then, you know, 3 months later, I was in training camp with them.
Crazy.
And it was surreal.
What was your first interaction with Gretzky? Did he speak to you for a while?
Not really, no. I still don't know whether he knows me or not. No, I'm kidding. He was very kind. You know, when I was with the team and I backed up Fuhr, I ate pregame meal at his place. It was, how about this? How
Gretzky's about or Fuhr's?
At Gretzky's. How about this? So we'd have pregame meal. His housekeeper, Bergie would make our pregame meal, spaghetti and garlic toast and that. So it was Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, who lived below him, Kevin Lowe, who I was living with, and myself.
Wow.
So all three of those guys are in the Hall of Fame for their playing careers.
You finally joined them, though.
Yeah. And there was me. And it was like Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the others.
That's pretty cool.
I was the last person to hold the cup. I love this story. I was the last person to hold the cup before Wayne in 1988. When the very first, you know, all those informal pictures now with the team, they take the cup to center ice when they win it.
Yeah.
And they get a picture taken. Everyone's all laying around.
Yeah.
Kind of band of brothers look to it and that. I had it. It was brought to me. I was over by the bench. And then as soon as it was in my hands, Gretz came by and almost swooped in like some kind of a hawk or eagle and snatched it out of my hands and took it to center ice. And then we all went there. That was the first time that was ever done. And every team since has done that.
Wow.
Every single team.
That's really cool. You were at the heart of that.
Yeah, basically my idea is the way I look at it.
You ripped it out of your hands and the idea was born.
But it was pretty neat being around there with that. And, you know, you go back up there now, it's 38 years or something like that? 32 years? I don't know. I don't know time or space, but it was an intriguing time around Edmonton.
Wouldn't that place go absolutely crazy if they beat Florida?
Oh my God!
I mean,
it's loud. Like, it's one of the loudest rinks in the league now, and they've just thirsted to get back there again. The last cup, the one that Wayne and I didn't win, was 1990.
You were both gone by
then. Yeah, we were gone. We couldn't, both of us, we'd text each other and go, I can't believe they won another one without us. What a clown act. They won in 1990, so that was their fifth. I was basically there, you know, in a very minor, capacity, very minor, for the first four. And the other cup thing I got to tell you about. So, you know, the keeper of the cup, the guy that goes around.
Yep.
Which is, and people are fascinated by Phil Pritchard, right? I love him. He stayed true to the water buffalo haircut. Uh-huh. He's got the full water buffalo still going. It's gray now, but he's still rocking that center part.
I think all of those guys, the keeper of whatever trophy in any sport, I think they're fascinating.
Yes.
It's a great job.
Go everywhere.
Yeah.
So in 1988, or in the 80s, it wasn't in 88. I've got a picture on my phone. I'll show you after. And the cup is at the Ford dealership in Edmonton being hammered out and pieced back together.
After a hard party.
Because they just handed it over then. There was no keeper of the cup. Like they basically, once you saw the players skate around with it until the fall, it was just passed around.
Does anybody know where it is? No.
And
then, really.
No, there were days when I remember us trying to get the team picture taken and they didn't know where the cup was. And it was a little bit of the, I thought you had it last. I thought you had it. And it was like, well, we got to find the cup. We can't get a picture taken without it. So in 19, when the New York Rangers won in 94, they brought it back at the end of the summer and they had lots of former Oilers and that might have had something to do with it. They brought it back to the NHL in a box in three pieces. And to his credit, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, I think he was a year in at that point, or maybe that was his first year. He said, we can't do this anymore. We got to treat our trophy a little better than this. And that's when Phil Pritchard and the keeper of the cup was brought in and he goes everywhere with it, all over the planet, every party. Can you imagine what he's seen?
What a great job.
Can you imagine what he has seen?
No, I can't. Just the stories that I've heard from the year here and 99 and
they
what
went
happened.
For a swim. And
yeah.
Yeah.
All that year sounded like enough stories for a lifetime.
And that's one of like close to 50 now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Nuts.
Pretty crazy. Well, it's great to have you here with us this morning. Again, congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
You
want to
hear
nod.
More about all my various stops and starts? And
we'll have
time, Gordon? Do we have time?
That's fine with me.
I was at the final show of Cheers. You want to hear that one as well?
Or oh, wait a second.
You were?
No,
hold
it.
Yeah, were you really?
I was. Yeah.
The final taping of the show Cheers.
I was at Cheers the night. Of the final show of Cheers.
The actual Cheers bar in Boston.
You were just in the bar.
The show emanated from there.
How'd you
night
get in?
On
oh,
NBC.
Did. Oh, yeah.
Jay Leno like hosted it.
How'd you get in?
What do you mean, how did I get
oh,
in?
Oh, yeah, you're a Hall
He's
of Famer.
Yes. He was a pre-Hall of Famer.
I was part of the entourage. They had a bunch of... I was living in Boston at the time. And they had all the sports celebrities... Havlicek and a bunch of the Celtics were there. McHale. We were all in a hallway. And I remember Leno came through, like he did a full rehearsal, you know, walking through and he did it all the first time. And then they did it live and they come walking through. So on the taping of it,
they're exactly.
Hey, here's some suits from NBC. Yeah, yeah. That was his reference to us. We were just standing in the hallway.
Interesting.
It was pretty neat. Yeah. And then over to the Four Seasons after and Kelsey Grammer and them were singing and playing the piano. It was pretty surreal.
Boy, you're a little like Forrest Gump.
Look at me.
Gretzky's house to the Cheers bar
to the Musers.
The Musers studio.
Monday morning in June.